Okay, are we good? Am I close enough?
Yes.
Okay. To get there myself, I should have put a bookmark in there. Good morning, all you lovely ladies.
Good morning.
It's always such a privilege to come and speak to you. And I love it. Even though it's nerve-wracking. Okay, so we're not going to read the whole text because it's long. We're going to go through the verses as we go. So I need to pray. Lord, we just come before you and we just give this time to you, Lord, and we pray that your word would come forth, Lord, and it would touch our hearts. We pray that it would do the work that you set out for it to accomplish, Lord. We know that you are the word, and we want to hear from you this morning, Lord, and we want to retain what we hear. We want to put it in practice in our lives, Lord. So we just come to you now as we open your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So at the closing of this amazing chapter, Paul gives us a series of rhetorical questions. And they each could be answered with a declarative answer of no, or no one, or God forbid. It's like he's taking us through like a catechism of what about this, what about this, what about this? And we're supposed to answer and be able to say in our heart of hearts what is true. The Lord is challenging us to really understand the depths of his love for us. He's getting us to think and reason about the conclusions that can be drawn from the scripture. And we see, you know, all the way back to the beginning of Romans, all of the lessons that he's teaching us, and it's particularly in this chapter. So verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? Well, what things? The things that Paul's been spelling out in Romans so far, okay? So he, in this chapter that we've been looking at, he has mentioned no condemnation, set free from the law of sin and death, sent his own son to redeem us, left us the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us how to pray, understanding, if we can, that all things work together for good to those that are called according to his purpose, because sometimes we're like, how could this be good? How would this ever be good? Okay, we are foreknown, predestined, called, justified, and glorified. So what can we say? Hallelujah, amen. Right? Praise the Lord. Our minds are blown when we think about these things, aren't they? It's hard for us to even fathom the depths of love that he has for us. The cross was the single most amazing thing in all of time and space. There's no other event that ever happened that's more auspicious than this event. I mean, when you think all of our dates, all of the dates every year, our year, point back to that date, before that pointed forward to that date. It's a date in time that people are forgetting about these days, but it's a time like no other. The commentator Brown says, this whole passage to verse 34, even to the end of this chapter, strikes all thoughtful interpreters and readers as transcending almost everything in language. I thought that was good. It's like, what other thing is more monumental than the cross of Jesus Christ? The end of verse 31. So, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? How many times these words have comforted me in times of rejection and hurt? Because we all go through those times where people maybe mock us or disrespect us because of the things that we believe. And we can run back to this. If God's for us, who can be against us? And we need to remember and think God is for us. It's funny because one of the prayer days that we had on the National Day of Prayer, one of the gals, I won't say her name because we're being recorded, was saying the words to the song, The Blessing, and I hadn't heard it that many times. And so she's repeating them, and she's saying, He is for us, He is for us, He is for us, He is for us. I'm like, okay, but we need that reminder, don't we? He's for us. And we have to remind ourselves sometimes, He's for us. It may be redundant, but He is for us. So don't ever forget it. Comfort yourselves in that. He's for our marriages. He's for our child raising. He's for our singleness. He's for our loneliness. He's for when we're taking care of ailing family members. He's for us. He's right there with us in the middle of all of it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. It's a free gift that He gives to us. But we're such a works-oriented people, aren't we? We think we have to do something, you know, to measure up. I know my Catholic upbringing had a lot to do with that, but I think we all have that in us that we think, I have to do more. But He gave it to us freely. And then the work that we do out of love for Him. So, William Newell, oh, I was going to bring my little book on Romans that William Newell, when we were new in the Lord, Chuck Smith encouraged us to study the word. And William Newell had a book on Romans that Chuck used in his studying. And his language is so poetic, it's beautiful. If you ever get a chance to read through some of the things. He said on this verse, our weak hearts are prone to legalism and unbelief. Receive these words with difficulty. God is for us. We have failed Him, but He is for us. We are ignorant, but He is for us. We have not yet brought forth much fruit, but He is for us. If our hearts once surrender to this stupendous fact that there are those whom God will eternally be for, then we shall be ready to magnify the God of all grace. It's like we have nothing else but to magnify Him for the work that He has done. So who can be against us? Put this on as part of your armor. Who can be against us? I'm a child of the living God. I'm a child of the King of Kings. I am a joint heir with the King of the universe. Who can be against me? Okay, when people say things, let me see, I'll find my place here. I'm going to live forever with Him and enjoy the fruits of His kingdom and be stunned by all that He has prepared for all of us, right? So, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be worried when people come against us. And this isn't pride. This isn't like I'm somebody special because I'm a child of the King. This is confidence that I have a King that loves me and has protected me. He can cover you too, but while you're condemning me, He says, she's mine. It's covered. She's safe. And who is it that tries to be against us, right? Isn't it Satan and the world? They fight against us. But what is Satan or the world compared to the Lord? Honestly, when you think about it, Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And 1 John 5:18, we know that whoever is born of God does not sin, and that means continually sin. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. He can't touch us. He has no part in us unless we let him, unless we listen to his lies. Verse 32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This is a God who is for us, and this is the proof. God the Father spared not, he delivered up his only son. Mocked, spit on, scourged, crucified by worthless men. Do we really need more proof than that? No matter what we're going through, do we need more proof than that? So why is this assurance so important? Because this confidence encourages you to come to him daily and find that strength that you need to receive the things in the word that he has told us. From the beginning of time in the word, from Genesis to the end, he tells us Genesis 2:16, he says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. He did have one caveat, but freely eat. He made all of those things to be enjoyed. Hosea 14:4, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. If we receive his love, we can be forgiven and justified freely in his sight. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And the Bible even closes with an open invitation to all. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears come. And let him who thirsts come. And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. So from beginning to end, he's saying to us, it's free. It's free. Come and take it. It's free. 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. So all things have been given to us. All power, everything that we need has been given to us. We know the Father is for us because he didn't spare his own son. So will he not freely give us all things? Verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Verse 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So who is he that condemns? We all know Satan tries to condemn us. Condemnation is of the devil. People may condemn us also. But why should we worry about that? Yeah. You know, we give too much thought to that a lot of times. Our feelings are hurt, or should we do something to fix it, or should we, you know. Why should we worry when people don't like us? You know, go to the Lord. Lord, is there a way to repair this relationship? You know, but other than that, God, I know you love me, and I don't need to really be worried about what other people think about me if you're being righteous. If you're being unrighteous, that's another story. But God is for us. The Holy Spirit convicts us, which conviction draws us to him. Condemnation drives us away from him because we think about how bad we were, how bad we are. But God doesn't condemn us. So Satan and people condemn us. That drives us away. So Satan condemns us night and day, and apart from the work of Christ, he would be right, right? We were what he says we are. We were. We made it. I mean, when the list before this scripture I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians 6 names every manner of sin there was, and each one of us could identify with something in that list. That's what we were. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we have that confidence that we're clean in him, we're made clean before him. And that's something that I recommend daily, that we come to him very first thing. His mercies are new every morning, Lamentations 3. And we just say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I repent. I come before you and I lay everything down before you and ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Forgive my sin. And we're made new. It's a new day. Mercies are new every morning. Psalm 32:2 said, blessed is the man to whom God does not impute iniquity. We are all blessed, aren't we? Yeah, because he could impute our iniquity, but he doesn't. He covers it. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The word separate here in the Greek is spelled, I'm going to pronounce it the way it's spelled, which is kind of funny, chorizo. But it doesn't mean the same thing, okay? It's actually pronounced chorizo. And it's the same word for divorce between a husband and a wife. So in other words, God's saying there's nothing in this world that can divorce you from my love. I'm going to love you forever. No matter what, my love is eternal. There's no external force that can snatch you from God's hand. John 10:29 tells us this. So do you believe this? You should, because it's a promise signed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? Indelible ink. Paul gives every possible scenario in the coming verses in 38 and 39 of the circumstances that cause people to question God's love. We get in circumstances, don't we, and we think, how am I here? I never thought this would happen. I never thought I'd be living a life like this. But it does not separate us from his love. He has a plan and a purpose in our lives for the situations that we're in. If God doesn't change it, Paul presents every scenario. However, if he is a God who does not change, then his love towards you cannot change, no matter what circumstance you're in. That is the most incredible and reassuring fact of God's nature and his character. No matter what you've done, or how far you've fallen, or what sin you've committed, his love towards you will never change. His love towards you will never change. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Often these things we encounter in this life look like things we never hoped for or dreamed or imagined. Often what he gives us are not the things that we would have wanted, right? Lord, that really wasn't what I was thinking of. How many times have we said that? Okay. But he knows what's best for us. Sometimes we may question if he cares for us at all, but he knows what's best for us. And how many times have you come through a situation and then you see how God uses it on the other end and you go, ah, now I get it. Now, not always, because a lot of things we're not going to know until we get there. Why those things happened, you know? Why we had a daughter that went to heaven, you know? And when those things barbecue, that, you know, that you just don't know why those things would have happened. But one day he will reveal it to us, that he had a plan and purpose. In our daughter's case, we always say he wanted her with him, so what did we have to say about it? And he healed us. He healed us from that. And he's used it in our lives many times. So this verse we looked at a few weeks ago, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And sometimes we have to receive that by faith, right? Because it doesn't look like that. It doesn't look like a light affliction at all to us. So, but as we mature and grow, we see that the troubles that we have draw us closer to him, right? We talked about this last time too. If we just lived a life of ease, we wouldn't come to him. But when the troubles come, that's when we go to him, and we go to him and back to him and back to him to deal with those troubles. I've been having trouble with my back the last couple of weeks, and a chiropractor would get it in, it would go out. Every time I put my foot down, my whole back spasmed. And so where was I? Lord, Lord, Lord. And then when it felt better, oh, thank you, Lord, all through the day. Oh, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. And he gets our attention, right? He draws us to him, to the things that we go through. So as we grow in him, we see that the troubles draw us closer, and they also expose the weakness of our flesh, okay? Because sometimes we think we're something and we're not. Then we gladly welcome them because we know that he's going to work his work through them. James 1, verse 2, and we all know this verse probably by heart. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. These Roman Christians that Paul was talking to had been suffering. They'd been suffering death. Thousands and thousands of them were killed. They were seeing, can you imagine us seeing one by one our friends being killed, martyred, in terrible ways, and dealing with that? Only the grace of God, only the power of God would allow you to stand through all of that. So it doesn't really matter what our feelings are. It's the facts Okay, and so many times as women, we're feeling oriented, aren't we? The fact is that he loves us, even if we go to our death, he loves us. We are not separated from his love. But these outward troubles are sometimes the things that make us doubt if he's really there. Because sometimes he's silent in our trouble. And we're calling out to him and we don't hear what he's saying to us. And we have to be patient and wait on him. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. So yes, we're groaning, we're suffering, but nothing we face in this world can separate us from him. Corrie Ten Boom, now you all know Corrie Ten Boom. Does anyone not know who Corrie Ten Boom is? Good. Okay. You know that she spent years in a concentration camp and her sister died in that camp. But she could say, after that experience, there is no pit so deep that God's love is not deeper still. Now imagine that, the things that she saw, her family all killed, and she could still say that in that pit, his love was deeper. Verse 36, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Here, Paul is quoting Psalms 44, when Israel thought they had been abandoned by God. It's a reminder to the life of the Christian. It is not one of ease, okay? Our goal is not to be safe and comfortable. That's not our goal in life. But that's what our flesh wants, isn't it? We try to make our houses nice and cozy. If we go any place, we try to make sure that we got heat and air. And we, you know, we life of ease, that's what we really want, right? But to name ourselves as sons of the living God is to invite persecution. And we are living in a time that the love of many has grown cold. We see it even here in our day and age. It's coming. Jane, Groove Jack sent me a little video because we like to stay up on what the school board's doing in the area. And they were going to have an article on their agenda this last Tuesday, which they took off the agenda when I think they realized that people were coming. Christians were coming. But Jane sent me a little video of a school board meeting in Ventura where the mother got up to speak. The school had transitioned her daughter without her permission. Now, I would imagine that means they put her on hormones. They couldn't have done a surgery without the mom knowing. But the mom got up and the mom said, I'm not here to complain or talk. I'm just here to pray. So she starts to pray in the name of Jesus. And it was like the demons started howling, everybody in the place started screaming. And the person, the board person is like, stop, you have to stop, stop, stop. We do not pray here. So they gave her 28 seconds to finish and she said, in the name of Jesus Christ, every knee will bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, the days that we're inviting persecution because the good and the evil is separating, isn't it? We see so much more the other side, and they're riled up. And in love, we are to present the truth, right? Stand up. Romans chapter 11, Paul says, has God cast away his people? And he answers his own question with, God forbid. God does not cast away his people. And that plan that he has for Israel is still in effect today, even though most of the Jewish people don't follow him. They haven't given their lives to their Messiah. The promise is still there. There's still a remnant. He said that there would be a remnant always, and they are the ones that his love is poured out on, and he will fulfill that plan for them. So, we can see to this day, he also has a plan for us that may include suffering and difficulties. These things refine us. We should be ready and willing to give up our very lives for him. And it may come to that. I don't know. We don't know how long we'll still be here on the planet. So who are the heroes in the stories that we love? Think about the books that you love. Who are the heroes? Aren't they the ones who've suffered and sacrificed? Made it through terrible times, come out the other end. Those are the stories that we love to hear.
Send themselves.
Huh?
Send themselves.
Mm-hmm. So we need to be in that same position, to be willing to take on the challenge of what God calls us to do and be the heroes also. I was thinking of the young people doing the Lord of the Rings this last weekend. We came over in the middle of the afternoon, but just for a pit stop, and there was hardly anybody here, but we heard that fluctuating times, more people later in the day. But my favorite part in those movies is when Frodo and Sam are trying to take the ring to the Mountain of Doom. They're trying to get up the mountain, and the ring has become so heavy on Frodo, and he can't bear it alone. So Sam is like, I can't carry it for you, but I can carry you. It's like, that's why we're a body together, because the trials get so heavy sometimes that they're a weight on us and we can't bear them alone. And our brothers and sisters come and they help and they lift our hands to help us make it through. But God's love is never taken away from us in those situations. Verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. Whatever we go through, we will come through as conquerors if we keep our eyes on him. Only through him can we truly conquer. We don't have the strength in ourselves to do it. I think of probably so many people that gave up their faith when the times got really tough. I can imagine doing that. Unless you go to Jesus and get the power that you need. We know that there's a reward ahead. We know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And one day we will be rewarded and crowned for the faith that we displayed, overcoming trials and difficulties through his strength that he has given us. So much of the maturing in the Lord, and you realize it the older you get, is surrendering. Not just being passive, but seeing the light through that dark glass that he told us we're looking through. We're looking through a glass darkly. Seeing the light that's beyond, because what we see here is dark. But we know that a reward is coming. We have an eternal home with him. And we can rejoice in that, right? Casey encouraged us in that when she did her study a couple of weeks ago. The joy and the hope are what get us through all of that. Because otherwise we would think, this is too hard. I just can't do this. But our eyes are set on him, and he gives us that power to go through the things that we need to. Newell again says, what a wonderful book this word of God is. Sheep for slaughter are naming themselves more than conquerors. Okay? We know we die. We have to die. We have to die to this flesh. We may have to die in this flesh, but we are more than conquerors because of him. Verses 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now Newell, in the book, he goes through every single one of those points, and he's got something beautiful to say. We don't have time for that this morning, but the one thing that I'd liked, he said, neither death nor life. And we usually say life or death, but the Lord says death or life. And he said, maybe it's because death would be easier than life sometimes. Right? Because how many times did you just say, Lord, take me, just take me, you know, take us out of this trial, that it would be easier to just be with him than live through the things we're living through. But Paul could say this experientially, right? He certainly was able to preach to us about this because he'd been through all these troubles and trials and beatings and out in the water and almost drowned. And so he could say that nothing could separate us from the love of Christ. He walked in it before us as an example. He could tell us it was true. Since God is for us, no power of hell can be against us. There's nothing in this fallen world or that Satan can throw our way that has the power to separate us from it. Satan is a created being like us, ladies. He's not the opposite of God. He's like maybe like Michael or Gabriel. I think George was talking about that. So we don't have to listen to him. He has nothing to say in our lives. So just ignore him. Say, I don't see that. Go away. Remember that. God so loved the world. God's love extends to the entire world of people he has created and to those who have chosen to walk with him. We are his special treasure. He delights in us. So his love reaches out to everyone. He loves everyone. Okay. But those of us that receive him, we are his special treasure. And he delights in us. He has filled his word with promises for us. He has given us everything to be with us. Don't forget that, no matter what situation you're in. So in conclusion this morning, these verses clearly promise there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We've said it over and over. He's for us, he's for us, he's for us. Okay. There are things that are promised here. His love is the strongest force in all of creation, stronger than any trial or peril in life. Do you have this confidence? Do you really have it in your heart that nothing can separate you? That nothing could change your heart towards him except yourself? One final note to these verses is that there, as the God, the love that God has for us is certain and unmovable. Paul is not promising that you can't ever be separated from the blessings or the relationship that you have with God. All right? Does that sound like a contradiction? No. Okay. It's quite clear from Scripture that sin can and does separate God's people from the Lord and his blessings. Okay, so Isaiah declared in Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Okay? This is the reinforcement of the statement in Romans 8:1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." We have to be in him to receive his love. And only we can separate ourselves from experiencing it, because his love is always there. It's always towards us. But we can remove ourselves. And we've seen, many of us have seen our prodigal children remove themselves from the love of God. They walked with God. And now, Lord, bring them back. We must always consider the balance of Scripture on sensitive and important topic as God's sovereignty and unfailing love and your human responsibility. Jude 1:21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God." All right? Keeping yourself in the love of God is every Christian's responsibility. It's what we're called to do. And then Jude turns right around and directs our attention to the one who enables us to do this. He says in Jude 1:24, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." What a balanced presentation of the truth, okay? Because we don't want to get on the side of God loves me, so it doesn't matter what I do. And, you know, we had a young man that came here when we were doing the Wednesday night prayers before church, that he came for quite a long time, and he was living in a homosexual lifestyle. And he was coming and praying that the Lord would free him from that, but he would never obey the Lord and stop. So whose fault is it in that case where he ends up in this situation? He still to this day has not turned away. The hands are reached out to him, the Lord has reached out to him, but the sin is more powerful in his life, and he won't say no to it. So we have to have that balance in not, what do they call it? Easy grace, what do they call it? Yeah. Jesus. That, oh yeah, I'm saved. I'm fine. I said that prayer and it's all good. No, we have a responsibility to keep ourselves in the love of God. Because his love never changes towards us, we must keep ourselves in a place where we can receive it. How do we do that? Note, Jesus balances this truth. And when we study these verses in John, okay? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. He makes it pretty simple, right? Doing it might be more complicated, but explaining it, he makes it simple. Jesus, in other words, says, just trust and obey. Trust and obey. Now, obeying is sometimes not something we want to do, right? Sometimes obeying is the hard part, but the longer we walk with him, the more we learn. When he says to do something, to do it. I had time for another little aside. My little lady that lives next door, she knows we're Christians. She's asked where we go to church. But every time we try to open that door, and the Lord told me early on, when I was just walking in the house, and he said, Merrily is mine. So it's like, okay, Lord, I'm in. What do we do here? Because she's like a hermit. She just stays in her house all the time. So the Lord was like, every morning when I would wake up and start praying, Merrily, I said, okay, she doesn't answer her door either when you knock on her door, so it's kind of difficult. So she has answered my text before, so I texted her, and I said, Merrily, when I get up in the morning and I say my prayers, you come to mind. And I think that's because Jesus wants you to know how much he loves you. And I said, I would be glad to share the gospel with you anytime if you would be open to hearing that, to know about the love that Jesus has for you. And I sent it to her, and then silence. It was like a full day, and she responded. She said, the short answer is no thank you, and the long answer is too long for texting. So I just texted her back. I said, well, if you ever feel comfortable enough to talk about why not, I'm open. I'm here. So since then, her car wouldn't start. Her battery was dead. So we had to go over to her house, jump her car. Okay. Then she lost her phone. She had to come over to the house. So the Lord, I see him like it's this big block of ice, and he's like chipping. She says, you guys are really nice. You're really good neighbors. And it's like, okay, Lord. So Merrily, if you think of her, to pray for her, because the Lord said she's his. I'm looking forward to that day. So, come out from among them, says the Lord, and be separate. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18. Therefore, if you never want to be separated from the love of God, keep yourself in his love. Abide, stay close. And you know, we get distracted, we go about our day, and we're like in the middle of other things, and our mind isn't on him. I know there was Brother Lawrence, who wrote the book Practicing the Presence of Jesus, and he was kind of a mystic. I don't think it's possible to always have our minds on Jesus. I don't think that's really possible. But to remember him all the day long when we're doing things, to call out to him, to remember to pray, and when you think of someone to pray, and thank him and praise him and worship him. Turn on the worship music in your car instead of the talk radio. Put on some good stuff that's going to feed you. Thank him and worship him for the unfathomable gift that he's given to us, right? Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word and the promises that you made to us, Lord, and that you are for us, and we can trust in that. We can relax in that, Lord, that no matter what, even when we start to go off, Lord, you call us back, you pull us back in, you bring about those circumstances to wake us up, that we don't drift away. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are a very present help in time of trouble, and you haven't left us alone. Your name is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, and they're safe. There's all those promises that you've made us, God, that if we stay with you, you're going to take care of us. And we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you've walked with us through this life. You're going to walk through it with us to the end, and you're going to love us to the end. And we just thank you and praise you for that this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Any comments, questions? Yes, Beth?
I have a comment. Back in verse 34. Who is he who condemns?
Pardon me?
Where it says, who is he who condemns?
Yes.
And part of that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, you know, they can do that or that. But anyway, that's a verse to remember when our self-condemning thoughts start.
Mm-hmm. Right. We all do that, don't we? Yeah. But where did those thoughts originate? You know, the wicked one is like,
yes,
go away. I'm not listening. La, 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 la. Jean.
Just remember, you're standing under the shower of grace all the time.
Yes. Thank you.
Just remember that. That just struck me yesterday.
Yeah.
So strongly.
Yes.
Because I can beat myself up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just got that visual of that grace.
Pouring down like rain.
Pouring over. God loves me.
Yeah.
He doesn't see all my flaws.
Mm-hmm.
He just loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought it was a great visual.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We stand firmly there.
Right.
Thank you for that, Jean. Now when I take a shower, I'm like,
grace. I think there's a song, isn't it, about your grace pours down like rain, I think. Yeah. Yes, Casey.
I really love the way you reference Genesis and Revelation and about the freely, I freely give you,
mm-hmm.
I freely give you, I freely give you, I freely give you. And I think that that is truly, if we can be convinced that God is going to freely give us
all things that pertain to life and godliness, all of them.
And be convinced in our mind
mm-hmm.
of that, Genesis to Revelation. It's where everything starts. I was just thinking about that this morning, about how it begins in our thought life. And if we truly believe that God is for us, Genesis to Revelation, the whole package, it spurs us to take actions.
Mm-hmm. And it also spurs us to be more thankful when we get out of bed in the morning and go, oh, another day. You know, oh, I have this aches and this. No. It's for our good. He has a purpose and a plan and all of it. Thank you. Thank you for our homes. Thank you for the food. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for our family. To be thankful and grateful for everything. Yes, Jean?
Well, I was just going to say, that's where the peace comes from.
Mm-hmm.
It's when you trust.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have his peace unless you do the word.
Right.
And trust.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems ridiculous at times. But that's where, like, Corrie ten Boom would have got her peace from.
Right.
Yeah.
She, when they would make them stand in the yard all the time, and just stand in the yard. And the Lord brought a bird. And the bird would come and fly over and fly around where they were. And she would just look at the bird and thank the Lord that was something that gave her peace and a little hope of the outside. And yeah, he's just good. He's good to us in every circumstance. Yeah.